Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast, or if it's your first time, welcome. In general, we've got a little guest in the studio today.
Just for this introduction, not for the entire
just
episode.
Yeah, for the introduction.
Ember, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Can you say hi, everybody?
Hello. Hi, babe.
Say podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
You're on the Behind the Scenes podcast, Ember.
Hi, bye.
Hi, everybody. So we have Ember in the office today because no nanny today and we needed to record this intro. So we decided let's just have Ember be on and say a few things.
Yeah. Ember did her first track meet this week.
Yesterday.
Which is basically a bunch of toddlers running around.
It was so cute. They did the 50 meter dash and she actually made it. Not in the lines the whole way, but she did pretty good.
Yeah, she was the youngest one there, too.
Yeah, technically it was for ages 2 to 3, but she's 22 months, so she's not even 2 yet.
Mm-hmm.
But she ran the whole way. Did you run, run, run?
Run.
Yeah, you run, run, run.
And you made it all the way to the finish, and then did we cheer for our friends, too? And you said, go, 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 and clapped for them?
Yep.
She's got the headphones on now, so she's mesmerized.
Yeah, she's like listening to us. Okay, so
go, 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 she says. Go, go, go.
So today is going to be a little bit different of an episode, but we think it's going to be really fun. We got to, on our book tour, we sat down with Annie Downs, and we were on her podcast
called That Sounds Fun.
That Sounds Fun. And it was an amazing conversation. And we were super fun podcast. Yeah, super fun podcast. She's awesome. And we were listening to it and we were like, you know what? This would be really fun to play, to reshare. So that's what today's podcast is it is our conversation with Annie Downs on her podcast, That Sounds Fun.
And we talk about the Enneagram a lot, because Annie is super into the Enneagram like us. We also talk about, well, we don't, but Jeremy and Annie talk about soccer because she's also very into soccer. And then we also talk about our yearly boxes that Jeremy and I have, our marriage boxes for each year of our marriage, which is just kind of a fun thing to talk about. We hadn't really talked to anybody else about that before. So, it was a fun episode and
yeah,
kind of
really
some
fun.
Different stuff that we hadn't talked about in a bunch of other podcasts that we did. Ember, do you want to come back and say hi? Come here. Come say hi over here.
Hi.
Okay. Can you say welcome back?
Back.
Can you say I love you?
Oh.
Can you say I love you?
I love you.
Okay. Well, let's get into it, babe.
Yeah.
Here's our conversation with Annie Downs.
Say bye-bye, Ember.
Bye-bye, Let me tell you the rules about the show.
Yeah.
There's two rules about who's on the show. There's only two options for guests. I don't have strangers on. It's not an option. It is only people I'm already friends with or people I plan to be friends with.
Boom.
So y'all are stuck with me now.
There we go.
I mean, I feel like we've shared people for forever.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've known.
Same circles.
Same circles.
Definitely.
Yes. When I was driving here, getting here after you guys did. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You are better humans than me. When I was driving here, I was thinking, I'm going to ask you questions like we're getting coffee for the first time.
Awesome.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, love it.
I mean, because I did all my research. I know the things, but also, like, let's just actually
be
friends.
Yeah.
Where do y'all live right now?
We live in Portland, Oregon, just outside of Portland, Oregon. But we did live, I like to say this, 2.5 years in Bend, Oregon.
Did you?
Have you been to Bend?
Yeah.
Yeah, that cute little Bunyest mountain town. So we loved it there. Currently, you know, we had our daughter, and then we moved back to Portland with family, so.
Okay. Oh, wait. How old is she?
19 months.
Okay. Where is she when you're book touring? Is she with you?
No.
That's a great question.
She's with my parents this stretch. Then she's going to be with my brother and sister-in-law, Jared's twin brother.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law. And then she's going to be the nanny.
Yeah.
We have like three stretches.
Yes.
And then she's going to come with us to like the Portland, Seattle local stuff.
So instead of doing like 8 or 10 like kind of smaller 2-day stretches, we chose to do 3 more 5-6 day stretches.
Yeah.
And we figured it's gonna hurt, it's, and we'll probably never do it again, but like let's go for it. And so we did it.
Yeah, you know, this is, I mean, a book release, that is what you have
to do. And if it's your first one, you know, and yeah, we wanted to make a splash, so
yeah. Well done. So the book's been out, this comes out on Monday, so the book will have been out a weekish, but
yes,
technically, it's been out a couple days.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. What is it? Yesterday. You're right. You're right. Yes. Yesterday. What does it feel like for people to actually be able to hold it? I'm holding a pen like I'm very official journalist.
Yeah.
I'm not. What does it feel like now that people are holding it?
It feels incredible. Well, specifically the feedback. Like when you start getting feedback about something you've poured 2 years of work into, it's just humbling, you know, to say the least, but it's just an immense amount of emotion. All of the emotions kind of combined into one.
Yeah.
Like relief, excitement, joy, humility. Like it's just all wrapped into like, wow, what the heck's happening?
Yeah.
But I would say standing at Union Square, walking into Barnes & Noble and seeing it front shelf was, that was a moment.
Like I was just thinking, we weren't even for sure it was going to be in there. So I'm thinking like, I hope it's in here. I hope we're going to be able to find it.
Yeah.
And then it's just right there on the front table. Like, right.
Yeah. Back shelf. Seat 30. We were like,
crazy.
We were like seat 32B in the back.
Yeah,
probably.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. It was insane. So, and then just people have already read the book in a day.
It's
like,
crazy,
it just
right?
released. They just got it in their mailbox and they've already read it. Yeah. And we're like, this is insane. The fact that we're getting feedback on what people thought and how the story impacted them and what their takeaways are already is just
special.
So cool.
It's so generous too, right? When people tell you how your book makes them feel.
Yeah.
Behind me, there's notebooks, a golden black one right there.
Yeah.
And that all of those are letters that people have mailed me about my most recent book.
Oh,
man. I keep all of those.
Yeah.
Because, and you're, I mean, you're experiencing that too, that like people care to respond.
That's a really, really good idea.
Yeah. Because I think if they mailed it to me.
Yeah.
That is like a
memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all about those letters.
I think we're putting them. Yeah. We're all about those letters.
I bet y'all do get a lot of those. Yeah.
We put them all in a box because we have these memory boxes. So every year we have a stack of boxes with just a big number on it. So like year one of marriage, year two of marriage, year three of marriage. And so anything special that happens that we want to remember, we should put it in the box. It's like,
or like letters we wrote each other.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, some friend got married at the wedding invite, some friend had a baby. Like that's where we kind of like keep it all.
Right.
We're maybe a little bit too nostalgic in a sense that we probably of keeping too much. But
no, I like it. I'm really into it. So anyways, y'all, what year are you on in your marriage?
Five. Going
almost
on five.
To five.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost.
And so you have five boxes. What other things go in that box besides letters from
like
friends,
concert, things that we people
if
we've
it's
met,
like important, yeah, but like
Ember's handprint from you
Ember's
know whatever
handprint.
Now Christmas stuff.
Yeah,
we keep our Christmas cards and put them
first,
on like a spiral ring.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too.
So
yeah, the first time we went to Hawaii, we like kept a souvenir or something. We put that in the box.
Totally.
You know, just stuff
little
like
tchotchkes
that.
And like, trinkets that you don't know what to do with. Throw them in the box.
Yeah, but stuff. But we try not to make the boxes too big. Like they're small because they're gonna stack up. But stuff our kids go through and go like, oh, this is interesting. Tell me the story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, buckle up. Here we go. Grab a blanket. Like that's kind of the idea.
Is that, I was going to say, is the goal behind it for you or for future generations or for who? Or both?
Future, both. Yeah. But for me, more of a legacy type thing, like future generations. I think that's fun. Stories are so powerful. And when you can tell your story, specifically with visual aid, like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. That's what, when I was looking through your book, A Love Letter Life, I was interested in that y'all are in your 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was interested
29,
in 29,
so pushing
30. Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on over to the 30s. It's way better. Y'all are going to love it. I'm telling y'all, it is so much better.
Oh,
it just keeps getting better. I'm so grateful. But what did your parents say to you, or what did your mentors say to you that made you appreciate collecting things like that, that made you appreciate writing letters and thinking about your legacy?
This is a great question.
I don't know if, well, so, okay. So for me, my mom was the kind of mom that wrote me a, a lunchbox note every single day before I went to school. Yeah. And she was a huge card writer. You know, she'd write notes on our bathroom mirror and would mail me just cards all the time in college, cards for everything. And I've always been a really big journaler, like journaled since I was 8 years old. So I've always loved writing. I've always loved writing things down and remembering things in that way.
Yeah.
You know, and then I would say too, Jeremy and I are kind of just old souls and we love just nostalgia and antiques and that kind of thing. So I would say, I don't know if that necessarily came from my parents. Jer's parents for sure.
Yeah.
They're way more, Jer's dad specifically.
Yeah.
I would say,
totally. I wouldn't say like letters specifically came out of anything, but letters is just the avenue I've found to express this personality of kind of nostalgia and history. And my dad built a bunch of stuff on the farm, and just growing up, that was kind of always our household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my grandparents. And so, anyways, letters was kind of my avenue in which I pursued that. And it just, if they feel real, you know, it's like you can touch them, you can handle them. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Probably a weird thing for you guys is that people like me who watched Little People, Big World feel like...
You did?
Nice. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I feel like I've known you for the last 20 years of our lives or something. But that you didn't grow up on TV, Audrey, right?
No,
so will you tell... What was your life like before? Did you watch the show? Did you know who he was? What?
So I'd never seen the show. I didn't really grow up watching TV, really. Like, I
did
mean,
you grow
I
up
did
in Oregon as well?
Yeah, 15 minutes from the farm.
Okay.
I went to like a massive public high school in the suburbs of Portland.
Yeah.
So did not know Jeremy, but then I knew of the show because it was like the thing in Portland, and I knew of the pumpkin patch because everyone went there in October. We did not go there. We went to a different one, my family.
Yikes.
We would pick peaches at the farm that literally shares a driveway with Roloff Arms.
Yeah.
My family every summer, but we never went to Roloff Arms. So
that's so funny.
So, but our friends that set us up on a blind date, they like prefaced, they told me who he was.
Yeah.
And they really believed that like we'd be good together. And that's why we said yes. Neither of us had ever been on a blind date. But I grew up in a Christian home in the Portland area, didn't know anything about him, did not come from that world, obviously.
Yeah.
That was my introduction.
We tell the whole story in the book
of
Audrey's first experience filming, when that was, and then, the major experience was obviously filming our wedding.
Sure. Yeah.
But they didn't really get any of our dating,
That's what makes the book so fun, is it's all the things we didn't know watching the show.
So it tells that whole story, and even more than that, it tells a story we couldn't possibly have told on television.
Yeah.
You know?
Because through words versus through TV is just...
Yeah, like we're telling it. And then it also... We're able to speak about the skeleton that holds the meat, if you will.
Okay.
It's like our faith, you know, and whereas like on TV things can get, you know, interpreted and just
edited.
It's like who knows what actually gets on air. So
Audrey, what was the Lord doing in you before you met Jeremy that you can look back now and go, oh, that was always preparation for this life?
So I actually uniquely met Jeremy 2 weeks after I had broken up with a previous relationship, and I was not in a place where I was looking to date at all.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why the 2 year pursuit of us being friends and nothing more. I was really in a season of kind of almost pridefulness in a way where I was like, I love my, you know, I don't need no man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do my thing. And like, just, you know, I was a collegiate athlete. I was double majoring in school. I was like, I just wanted to focus on these other things that were going to make me a better human being. And I didn't want to be clouded by a relationship, or I didn't want to be distracted by a relationship at that time because I was young. You know, I was in college. And so I just wanted to focus on the things that I felt like I was supposed to be doing at the time. And I feel like relationships were never like a super high priority for me in my life. Even with previous boyfriends, it was always kind of like, oh, this is, I tell it in the book, this is fun to like drive stick shift and get free ice cream. But that was about it for me. Like, I didn't really like. So what the Lord was doing in my heart, I guess just, you know, preparing me and helping me realize more of who God has made me to be. To love Jeremy better. So I know myself better and I know who God wants me to be. And just pressing into that, I feel like that was the best preparation I could have ever done for meeting him.
Yeah.
Just the fact that I had focus on that, I think really did prepare me for marriage and meeting Jer. So
I just don't think anybody thinks they're going to be famous on TV.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, yeah. No one, like, or maybe kids now grow up and think that more than we did.
Yeah, but that's true.
For sure. Like, all those little kids out there, like, right. What They're are you like, going to be? I want to be a YouTuber.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Whoa, where?
That just never, the way they say it now, it was never in my head.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I think it's sometimes interesting mm-hmm. to look back. And for anybody, whatever God has them in right now, I'd love going, okay, but 10 years ago, what was God doing to get you ready mm-hmm. for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Because that also tells you, what is he doing right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you can go, maybe this is preparation for something.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
think.
I yeah, know. No, definitely. Absolutely. I think when it actually happens, you do look back. You, like, for example, everything we're doing now, I look back in my life, having grown up on TV, thinking yeah. like, whoa, that has prepared me mm-hmm. in an immense way for what I'm doing now or what I'm going to do or where God's going to lead us. That's a good question, too.
You're so complimentary. You can just come on anytime yeah, you want, right? Jeremy. No. Annie, you're great at this.
Well, these are quite, we haven't gotten these questions before. My brain's opening.
That is for real my goal. I'm always like, oh, please don't ask the exact yeah. same questions they've had 18 times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's so much there, but handling media would be one of them. Handling the spotlight would be one of them. And yeah. this is all praise be to the Lord, right? Because,
right.
like, seriously, sometimes I think, like, Lord, how come I'm still sane? You know, like, right. I've literally since 12 years old grown up being famous. We were one yeah. of the we just got the Guinness Book of World Record for the longest running family focused reality television show in history.
Oh my gosh.
We filmed more consecutive episodes than any. Anyways, it's a whole thing, but super.
That's
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, to have a
good. Your parents seem really lovely, by the way. I've always yeah, really enjoyed your family.
They're super great. But yeah. just that process has definitely trained me in some ways and equipped me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just given me the platform to manage, you mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of learning that's happened. And now with what Audrey and I want to do with the mission of this book specifically,
yeah.
You need to handle media and the space well and the relationships I've built. And it's just, you know, it can be really difficult. But when you believe in the mission more, yeah. you know, it's...
What is it? Because it's more... There are so many people who write books because this viral thing happened and so I'll write a book.
Yeah.
Or this,
yeah.
I was on TV, so I'll write a book. Or I had a tragedy, so I'll write a book. And all mm-hmm. those are fine reasons.
For yes. sure.
But that's not... what this no. is. What's the mission behind this that makes it different?
Yeah. I would say our book, more than a lot of things, is an overflow that of passion that we have for healthy relationships.
Mm.
We've been poured into an immense amount, and we have such this burning desire to live a story that we would want read back to us one day, because we're all yeah. going to give an account for our lives. So our life song is going to be played back to us. And so we want people to press into the story they would want read back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we
good.
All started doing that, relationships are one of the most foundational
romantic relationships.
Romantic relationships,
okay.
like the marriage relationship.
Yeah.
It has immense power to influence not just your life, but culture at large. And so if we can yeah. press into healthy ones, like, whoa, that is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Like a ton of marriages on mission together in a greater mission wrapped up as a tidal wave influencing mm-hmm. culture. Like that's so exciting.
Come on.
So we want to, with this book, ignite people to stand up and go, whoa, I'm living a love story. It matters. It's a part of a bigger purpose, and we're going to change the world. That's essentially the overflow of passion that we have comes out in this book, and that's what the book's supposed to do.
Okay, hold on. Because you're an Enneagram 9,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Nines are never this driven.
No.
What's the story?
Wow.
How are you this healthy?
No, he's yeah. a very good yeah. speaker, because imagine.
No. So this goes back to what you just asked. That was such a good question.
Him.
How have I been equipped?
Right.
My whole life, I've been trained
sure.
as a leader. I've been trained
yeah.
to be in, you know, on media. Mm-hmm. And there's just all of these things that are all coming together right now. And it's really exciting when you're standing on this point of history, in your own history, where
yes.
you're like, Lord, whoa, you've yeah. assembled quite the toolbox here. How
yeah.
shall we get to work? And this book
oh,
is the beginning
good.
Of getting to work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the beginning. Okay.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because... historically, male nines can be
yeah. mm-hmm.
more passive,
mm-hmm.
more...
And I definitely am.
Well, and I would say for Jeremy, it's an emo
also
moment.
Great. I have a male nine in my life that I have multiple
yeah,
male nines
for sure.
that I adore.
Well, we're the crown of the Enneagram.
Yeah, that's right. You feel what everyone... the crown of the Enneagram. And Audrey, you're an eight.
Yes.
Yeah. Neighboring numbers end up together so often.
Yeah, fire nice.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what they call us
fire
on the Enneagram
ice.
Thing. We're fire nice.
But this is another thing that the Lord's been doing. Like, I have a very, very driven, passionate eight that has almost ignited this side of me. Because
yeah.
I very well might have tucked these tools in the toolbox, walked out of the garage, shut the door, and
been
gone.
Okay with it.
That was a fun experience.
Yeah.
But I have Audrey.
Okay, this is it. This is what I want to know. So what's the balance between igniting and leading?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say this is one of the biggest things that we struggle with in our relationship is me letting Jeremy lead. Like just letting, giving him a chance to. Because I'm so ready to like, you know, pick up my torch and just, yeah.
Same girl.
And so I just have to go, no, because I know when I let him talk and when I let him lead, amazing things come out and amazing things happen. But so I get impatient. And so I go like, this has to happen now.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
Usually, for me, it's usually just like, it really is a patience thing. It's if I can just be patient a little bit longer and be willing to wait for him a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Then exactly what, like the amazingness comes out, you know? Yeah. And so I think I just have had to learn to like hone it back. Whereas he's had to learn to match my intensity a little bit because mm-hmm. I need him to go there in the conversations mm-hmm. with me and not just be like, well, you know, or like, you know, perfect example. If something scary happens or we're driving and we almost get hit by a car and I need him to have a reaction. Whereas he's like, oh, we're fine, you know, just totally okay. Like nine, so my meme of the nine on the Enneagram is sitting in a hammock with a drink. Everyone else thinks the world is ending. Here's a nine. And they're just like, you know,
so
no one's
I've
disrupting
learned,
my peace. Like nothing
I've learned,
is interfering.
I've learned to go, oh, wow, babe. Yeah, that was really close.
Yeah. It's like, I
even
need
though
that.
You don't feel it at all.
Right. Not at all.
But I need that. I need him to like acknowledge but it.
Let me, babe, that was really good about, I think patience for her has been a really interesting thing. But also I would say there's different ways to lead and both forms of leadership can ignite people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like if some people can lead by actually reserving their energy and it almost forces the ignition of someone next to them or people in whatever, your small group or whatever. Like that is a massive form of leadership. But the other form of leadership obviously is the more, I guess what you would call culturally defined leadership, mm-hmm. which is just this big boisterous out in front, you know, type of leadership. But
yeah. Because what I know from y'all's lives and your book and just following you and being your people is that you do have a kind of a traditional understanding of male leadership, but the female has a strong voice, like kind of a really to me, I mean, I'm just watching from the outside, have a healthy, like both of us lead, but Jeremy's the leader of the family and under Christ and all the things. So I'm a seven with a hard eight wing. I mean, you don't run a company without having a hard eight wing, right?
Yeah.
But then in my relationships with male nines, my challenge is always like, how do I not boss you?
Yeah.
But if I boss you, I'd get everything I want.
Right.
Yeah, but I would have bossed it and it wouldn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's a great way to put it because...
Well, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's
my whole life I've been told I'm bossy, you know?
Same, sister.
So,
right.
And I'm the oldest child and so I have to fight that all the time.
Yeah.
And just wait, you know? And
because then when you wait on the nine probably has the same plans in his head that you have in your head.
Right.
He's already worked it all out. If you will just wait, he'll say it.
Yes. Right. But I don't know that he's worked it out unless he communicates it. Because I'm like, wait, is he thinking about anything or is he on free
and
time?
I'm like, babe,
like,
I've got the
right
whole
now?
Thing done.
Done.
It's in my brain. Just sit back. And she's like, no, I want to yell about it. And
I'm like, I so get dealing with male, appreciating male nines.
Hey, we've got a gift to bring to the world.
Yeah, what is it? What do you think is a nine's gift to the world, male or female?
Calming everyone down.
We interviewed Chris Hewitt on our podcast.
Oh, gosh. He's the best, right?
He's incredible. He's actually writing another book, which is so
exciting.
Okay,
good. We'll link to this episode so everybody can go listen to it.
Yeah. So, but it was actually our second episode of our podcast with him. Chris Hewitt.
Say the name of y'all's show again.
Behind the Scenes Podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Whole idea is getting behind the veil of social media, kind of getting behind the curtain of people.
And people's lives,
Yeah, so he was saying like in relationship, one of the most healthy things any number can do on the Enneagram is accept your partner's number as a gift rather than a hindrance.
Oh,
so instead of them hindering you from your way of living and existing and talking and doing, it's actually the gift they're giving you, the gift, the perspective you don't have in the world. So your perspective will actually double if you learn to accept them as a gift. Now, this doesn't mean accept every single flaw necessarily. Like everyone should be
changed. You don't have to paint it like the perfect.
You don't have to paint it like the perfect thing. Yeah, yeah. However, just the concept simply of like, wow, they're bringing a gift. So I bring to Audrey a gift of Sabbath, like a gift of rest, a gift of peace. Like, hey, babe, let's put the phones down. We don't need to get something done for this hour. Let's exist. And while Audrey brings to me what I think you might have noticed is just this ignition,
yeah,
this sense of stirring and like, okay, let's get stuff done.
Yeah.
But then I'm really good at Sabbathing.
Okay, do y'all actually have a Sabbath during your week? Do y'all observe it?
Yes.
Oh, tell me what it looks like. Do y'all know John Mark Comer?
Oh, yeah. That's how we
listen. Hey, look at the back of the book. He endorsed it.
Oh, wait, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's in it.
He's right here. Anyways.
But also, so many of my friends endorsed it. Ann Voskamp, Jason Kennedy, the Bethkes, the Beviers.
Yeah.
All my people. Come look on. Thank y'all for signing this one for me, by the way. Okay.
Yeah. John Mark has been.
We met at John Mark's church. Like, we met at the first ever Bridgetown.
The opening service
when
of
it
his
was
church.
Get out of my life.
Yeah.
I revere him. I just think the world of that guy.
No, he is.
And he was just on our podcast,
in
too.
My opinion,
and that episode is going to be fire.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
We just interviewed him.
About relationships, marriage.
To tell you how good it was, I think I might have said 12 words.
Seriously.
Just like,
we asked him one question, and we were like, okay, keep going.
He is a phenomenal teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's profoundly shaped our view in many, many ways.
Me too.
And he's doing a lot for a lot of people. He's kind of leading a generation of Bible truth sayers, if you will.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, so tell me how y'all observe Sabbath.
Yeah, so
like
we our primary focus for Sabbath is obviously observing the Lord, and just so we focus on that. And we usually start with like we wake up whenever we want. We read.
Do you do it on a Sunday
it's
or
Sundays.
Saturday?
Oh yeah, it is Sunday, but,
except for book tour.
But we've been actually. Nine thing. I haven't told this to her yet.
I love this so much.
But I've been thinking about changing it to a Saturday because on Sunday we still have the schedule of church. We have the schedule of fellowship at our community, at our house.
Yeah.
There's still this like schedule that we need to think about. Yeah. I want like a Sabbath where I don't think about nothing.
I got you. I know.
And so what we do is we no social media at all. I did buy a Sabbath phone. It's a flip phone. Bless its heart.
Oh, brilliant.
Haven't really been able to use it too successfully yet, but anyways, no social media, and we basically do whatever we want. We rest. It's not planned at all.
Yeah.
We always crack a nice bottle or something.
Yeah,
and it's our time to also be available to
we go on walks,
people, and think like we just because during the week we work so much and we're so like head down. We have to say no to so many things.
Yes,
you want to hang out? You want to come over? You want to? We just constantly are saying no. And Sunday, everyone knows, is our day to like let's go ride our bikes, come over, let's have a drink, let's hang out, let's make a meal. You know, and it's just like.
Definitely.
Good, rich fellowship.
And we've been doing it for about a year and a half. And to be honest, we're still crafting it and learning. It is such an art.
It is such a practice.
It
That's
is
what
such
I
a
want
practice.
My friends who are listening to get.
So like, we don't have it figured
practice
out.
Practice this, yes.
And you don't get it figured out.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong practice that gives you lifelong energy, really.
One of the things that Bethke has said to me before, maybe on the show or in real life, that it all kind of muddles together.
Yeah.
But is that... we can treat Sabbath like Christmas Day, and some years Christmas Day doesn't go as well as it did the year before or the year after. It doesn't mean you cancel Christmas for next year.
Yes,
it means you just do it again.
Yep.
So usually it's actually Wednesday. It's not this week. We didn't like interrupt it today, but it's usually Wednesday.
Is today Sunday?
Yeah, in my heart. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But normally my friends have grown to like, we don't text Annie on Wednesday. On Wednesdays, now that I'm working, I'll go like,
love that.
You guys, I'm a person today. Like, I'm not resting that hard, you know? And I do the same where I'm like, let's go on walks. Let's, as John Mark teaches, rest or worship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for me, being with people is very rejuvenating.
Yeah.
And so I have, and we could just do Sabbath for forever, but I have just, it is so true that we can do more in 6 days with God than we can do in seven.
Oh, absolutely. Amen to that. For sure.
Yep. It keeps us sane. It's the only reason we've been able to do what we're doing. I mean, like, God is the reason.
Yes.
But it is, like, seriously been a lifeline for us in the past 2 years.
Yeah. Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying this conversation with Annie Downs. I just wanted to take a quick minute to share a review about A Love Letter Life that really moved Audrey and I. And we read all these reviews, you guys. We sit down occasionally and just kind of crank through them because they're so special to us. And we really appreciate every single one. So here's one that was really moving to us. A Love Letter Life will change the way you date and how you view your marriage. This book has changed our marriage of 12 and a half years. After reading this book, we had a quick little trip to New York City for a few days. This was one of our favorite trips there because we were both more intentional in our marriage. Our phones never came out while sitting down for dinner or out and about in the city unless needed.
when we would get back to our room, still little to no phone use. Since we have read this book as a couple, I see my husband in a whole new light. We have been praying every night before bedtime, and that means the world to me. My husband has always struggled with showing emotions, and I have seen him take a huge effort to do better in that since reading this book. God is first in our marriage, and that's why we have been able to go through the toughest of times. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken, Ecclesiastes 4:12. After reading this book, A Love Letter Life, not only do I want our marriage to continually be more intentional with one another, I want it to be even more intentional with how we walk with Jesus. That's amazing because, well, first of all, thank you so much for that review, PremiumMom3 on Instagram. It's so cool because this book we wrote to be more than a simple, cute love story. It was never intended to do that. And to hear reviews like this about how it's changing marriages and relationships, or even single people, how it's changing the way they view relationships, dating, and marriage, it's really special to us. So thanks. I wanted to share that review with you guys. Amazon still got the book on sale. So if you have yet to pick it up, I encourage you to do so or to grab one for a friend. Thanks so much, you guys. Jumping back into our conversation.
What other disciplines do y'all have y'all brought into your family that you're practicing, other spiritual disciplines?
So we do, or like the first that just comes to my mind is our marriage journal. We ask each other the same six questions every Sunday. We've been doing it since our honeymoon.
Oh, wow.
And they're super simple. It's like, what brought you joy this week? What was something that was hard this week? And it's
you
kind
write
of our
the questions?
Like, we write down our answers every week. So like okay. I write down Jared's answers so and it, my answers one yeah. week. He writes down both of our answers one week. And we actually made this into a journal. Like you can go get
it. Oh, we can purchase it.
Yes.
Oh, we'll link to it. Brilliant.
It's just a journal, but it's super, super okay. simple. It takes some weeks, it takes 5 minutes, some weeks it takes 2 hours, just depending on what's happened that week. But it's our good time to talk about it. When stuff comes up in the week that we just don't have time to really get into, it prevents bitterness, it prevents conflict, or resolves anything that has – one of the questions is there any unresolved conflict or hurt from the week that we need to seek forgiveness for? So oh, it's wow. like that's always our time to just talk about anything that's been bothering us.
Whenever it gets
us.
To that question, you're like, oh.
I know, but also time, here's another like, question. Like, what is a dream, craving, or desire that's been on the forefront of your mind?
Say that one more time, a little bit slower.
Yeah, what sorry. Is a dream, craving, or desire? Yeah,
craving or desire.
I channeled my inner Bethke there.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
What is a dream, craving, or desire that has been on the forefront of your mind? Every single
great.
Vacation we've ever taken in our marriage has come from that question popping up more than 3 weeks in a row.
So oh, it's wow. just like any fun thing like that we've pursued or
like
just,
I really want to do this. I really want to. Let's
do it.
Let's do it. Right. Yeah. So it's like, but my point is, we took time to have the conversation and explore each other's minds. The growing excitement of discovery.
Yeah.
Right. It's like we're continually every right. week. We go through our marriage journal and we get to learn a little bit more about each other. We get to get things out on the table. Mm-hmm. We get to purge the valve. There's a calendar in there. So we get to talk about the week ahead, get on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, try to avoid mishaps or miscommunications.
Right.
It's been a beautiful discipline. And wouldn't necessarily call it a spiritual discipline.
No, I mean, yeah, it is, though. Yeah. I think it is, though.
It's a discipline of communication.
It's a byproduct.
You know?
Yeah.
And
discipline
and,
of communication.
And learning
for sure.
each other. Like, we. Learn more about each other every single Sunday during that time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's this time to be students of each other, you know? And I think that's
yeah,
been,
that's been the healthiest discipline. That coupled with the Sabbath are probably our two big ones.
Yeah. I had dinner with friends last night. I can't remember what this is called, but we'll link to it. These four panes, P-A-N-E, in a window. And one is what you know about yourself and what others know about you.
Hmm.
And one is what you know about yourself, but others don't know. So like secrets.
Hmm. Yeah.
And one is what others know, but you don't know.
Yeah,
so
that's
feedback.
Good. That's good.
And the last
Ooh,
one is
I love this.
What you don't know and what others don't know. So it's the mystery left in you.
Huh.
And so taking
really
those
cool.
four into consideration, I think, man, that's a great way to mine that mystery section.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I actually have been thinking about this thing and I don't know why.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And then you kind of dig into that with each other.
Yeah.
Y'all are significantly smarter than you should be at 5 years of marriage and in your 20s.
No.
I'm very impressed.
No.
I have a lot of married friends. I'm kind of a professional having married friends, and y'all are doing this really well.
Funny. Well, thank you.
What would you say to people who are, you know, there's people that are listening that are single men and women in their 20s. What should they look for that you cherish in each other now?
Hmm.
I would say read our book.
There you go.
And you'll find
That's
out.
That's a great answer. Yeah. Good answer.
John Mark says this thing, though, in Loveology that I love so much. It's, you know, there's no, he has this whole thing about there's no such thing as the one.
Right.
But find someone who, when you look at their life, you love who they're becoming and you can't stand the thought of missing out on their, on being with them. Like, you can't stand the thought.
Yeah.
Of missing out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they become the one when you say I do.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And exactly. And so I think that for us in our story, and I'm not saying this is, you know, gospel for everyone, but we, friendship, the foundation of friendship was so huge.
Yeah.
Just so, we had years of friendship and just getting to know each other without the pressure of the, you know, what
the
culture would define
label.
As a dating label.
Yeah.
And also without the pressure of, you know, physical intimacy, because we were just friends, you know what I mean? So there was no, you know, during that time, there was no like temptation in that way.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that was just so huge in our time of like singleness, but being friends. But yeah, I mean, obviously just looking for someone who has traits of God.
Yeah.
That would be like, I mean, that's such a classic Christian
answer. No, it's actually a different answer because some people would say, make sure you judge their relationship with God versus people who have the traits of God.
Yeah.
Because
I what I have learned in my dating life is it's very hard to actually judge what a person's relationship with God is like.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can certainly decide whether you see traits of God.
Because traits are fruit, right?
Right.
And so it's like if they're actual, if you're seeing the fruit of the Spirit come out through them, which is what
I
saw.
The Bible tells us that we will see it in believers. Yeah.
Then there's a green flag. And that's another thing. We actually talk about being not an island. And seriously, we go through all of this. The whole first half of our book is our courting, our dateship.
Yeah.
Did I say
that? Dateship.
That's a new term. New term.
Yeah, is our dating and our courtship.
That's a cruise I want to go on.
Yeah.
A dateship.
A dateship.
I'm there.
So, but like, we go through all these ideas, and one of them is not an island. And it's this idea of like so many people, they find this person and the next thing you know, they isolate themselves.
Yeah.
And
we're like, the face
no. We should be integrating, not isolating. And it's this idea of like, we should be around people enough, building that friendship where they can be raising green flags or red flags in support or not support of your relationship. So if Audrey and I got, you know, more than a couple red flags, I doubt we would have moved along very, very far. But we allowed people to be in our relationship with us, walking through us life. And, you know, that's mentorship at its finest. That's community.
Right.
The Christian walk was never designed to be done alone.
Right.
But, so why are so many people trying to do that once they find someone? It's like probably because they dabbled with maybe it's physical intimacy. Then there's a guilt level there, a deep core soul guilt that they might not realize.
Yeah.
But that has caused them to isolate. I mean, this is a whole, there's a plethora of reasons for that. But like, anyways, not an island. We should be integrating, not isolating with our community. And
that's
a huge...
And that, in order to do that, that requires you to have friends that share the same values as you, that you actually would trust to raise a green or red flag, and you would listen to them. Because if your family doesn't share the same belief system as you or same values as you, then it's going to be harder for you to go, you know, they may raise a red flag against your relationship, but for a reason that does not matter to you, you know, like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or same with your friends. Like, so you have to have those friends. You know, with family, you can't choose, but you have to at least have those friends
crux
that share
that.
Those same values.
Too, if you want to have those friends, you must be willing to be that friend.
That's right. Yeah.
Because many people want X, Y, and Z, yet they themselves don't have what we just talked about, the fruits, to actually be that person.
Yeah.
Like, you're just as part of your community as you want people to be a part of it for you.
Yeah, you're sending as many texts as you're getting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how many red or green flags have you raised for the people in your life?
Be that person.
That's
if you see someone's relationship that you really admire, have you told them?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's so easy to do, but we don't do it, you know? If you have someone that's dating, have you affirmed, like, I see so much in you guys together, and this is what I see, and do that. You know, or same with red flags, obviously, because
so
need to be that friend, too.
This all happened in our story, in our dating relationship, in our courtship. And anyways, it's a really kind of fun story, which is why we thought to write about it.
Yeah. I love it. And I think the other problem with becoming an island is on an island, you need the other person to be your everything.
Yes, that's a...
And when y'all get on the island, all of a sudden, I'm a huge soccer fan.
That is.
And I was looking at... Yeah, you too?
Yeah.
What do you love, the Timbers?
Of course.
Of course. Of course. They're excellent.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're
Portland
so
Timbers.
Good. Do you,
we got
do you have an EPL team too? A Premier League team?
No.
No.
Yeah.
You're just like an MLS people.
Well, I mean, I watch EPL, I watch SPL, like I watch those, but I mean, I'm just, you know, it's one of those things I follow players, not necessarily teams.
Yeah.
We're tangenting.
Who do you love?
Here.
What? No, we are not tangenting. This is friendship.
Yeah.
Who do you love?
Oh, man. I mean, of course, Messi, the boss.
Well, sure.
Yeah, the GOAT. Torres, I followed for a very, very long time. He was actually the first player I've ever remember watching and going, wow, I think, as an American kid, I think I want to watch soccer. Because I always played soccer.
Yeah.
But Fernando Torres was like my guy.
Yeah. The young guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, the up-and-coming American star, of course.
Christian Pulisic.
Yeah. You do watch. Who do you follow?
Yeah,
who do you watch?
Well, Arsenal is my team.
Arsenal is your team? Okay.
And then, or Premier League, and same diff. And, I mean, Atlanta United, just because they're closest. But Nashville has a minor league team, and so next year we'll have MLS.
You guys just took our Nagby, who we were friends with.
Yeah. Real life friends.
Yeah, he used to come to the farm. I mean, not like great friends, but every time he came into pumpkin season, we'd like invite him up to the house and we'd hang out. And
he's great.
Nagby, dude.
So the reason I even bring all this up, A, besides friendship, is talking about soccer. B, is that I was looking at a soccer player's Instagram this morning and he was posting about his anniversary. And he said to my soulmate, my best friend, my it had like 9 things. And I was like, I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any other friends?
Yeah.
Like, you're asking her to be a lot of things.
A lot of things. That's a
and
really good point.
I think
point.
That's. I think it's good to have. I mean, when I'm in a dating relationship, he is a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to be my everything.
Right.
That is island behavior.
That is great.
You know,
great
and
point.
So be best friends, but don't be your only friend.
Yes,
because that I just don't know that we were ever meant to like put all of that relational need on our partner.
Totally. Right?
No,
well, I
absolutely think
that type of pressure often breaks things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. I had when I was seeing a guy, he didn't like soccer. And one of my
friends,
I was like,
flag.
Thank you. Speaking of that, I was like, I just don't know how I'm going to, and one of my guy friends was like, you're so dumb. You are not going to break up with this guy because he doesn't like soccer. There's so many of us who can talk soccer with you.
Yeah.
You know, like
he
doesn't have
point.
To be your everything.
That's
it is okay
point.
If he doesn't like soccer. Yeah. I'm not sure that's true, but I like the point of it.
Yeah.
Right.
So going off of that, though, there is something that we practice called the principle of sharing. We have an entire chapter about this in the book. And the whole idea is if the person you love or dating or whatever it might be likes something, there's got to be something in
you
it
can find.
That you can find to like. And in doing so, you actually build this strand of sharing between one another.
Mm.
And the whole idea is we want to build a strand of sharing, a wall, if you will, around our hearts together that's so strong, so impenetrable by 1,000 strands of sharing that it would seem impossible or even, you know, ridiculous to think that we could ever recreate it with someone else.
Yeah.
And it's this wall of protection, and it's this sharing that we're doing that that is ultimately building our love and making it stronger. So the principle of sharing.
Brilliant.
It's beautiful. It's actually not our concept. Mm-hmm. It comes from another book, but it's so influential and powerful and such a great thing. We wrote a whole chapter on it.
Yeah. Do y'all go to counseling?
No.
Right now, we have mentors, but we don't go to counseling.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I mean, like, not professional counseling, but.
But you have mentors, so you have other people.
We highly suggest it, though. Like,
It's the
classic cliche, you know, like, why would you ever want to put on a seatbelt after you crash? It's like, counseling is your seatbelt. Like, it is mentorship. It's like, we should all be doing that. We just happen to have quite a few mentors, so we haven't we haven't paid for it.
That's exactly, I mean, you're paying somehow.
You're paying
right?
somehow.
Everybody's paying somehow, but... Yeah, I mean, I think that's the trick is who do you have speaking into your life that will tell you the truth no matter what the relational cost is.
Yeah. Yes.
And with counselors, there is no relational cost.
There is no relational cost.
That's
so, but with mentors, there really shouldn't be either.
Yeah. If they're help doing it, for sure.
Were y'all already into mentorship before you were close with the Bethkes? Or was that kind of an influence?
Yeah. I had 2 mentors like all through college.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know of the Bethkes then, but
sure.
And then one of them, her husband married us and they did our premarital counseling, like one of my college mentors.
Yeah,
and they're still our
mentors,
best friend. Like, they're like, I would consider them some of my best friends.
Yeah,
like we talk to them on a regular basis. They're such champions for everything that we do and encourage and pray for us and challenge and call us out on things all the time.
Yeah,
And then Jeremy, didn't really have that same experience.
My only mentor died when I was 16, and that kind of I was just like, So yeah. I didn't have any.
Kind of closed them off to it for a while.
Yeah.
Well, just that close male relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And then we went to Bend and I found, Audrey's also been praying for me to find mentors for like 3 years straight. Yeah. And so we went to Bend and I found myself surrounded in a community with a ton of mentors. Yeah. You know, Aaron Smith, Matt Jacobson, Dale Partridge, Cody Meehan, just a bunch.
I love Dale Partridge.
Yeah. So he's one of my best friends. Yeah. And like, so, and it was through them we met the Bethkeys, which
got
is
funny. Got it. Of course. Yeah. Of course you did.
So.
Okay. So you mentioned something that we hadn't talked about yet. You said Audrey's been praying for years that you would have mentor. What is the role of prayer in y'all's lives?
So I think a lot of people may think that it's their job to fix their spouse or to change their spouse's heart. It's not our job to change hearts. It's God's job. Mm-hmm. And I think if we would partner with him more to like, for example, let's go back to the 8-9 dynamic, right? Like Audrey might look at some things that I'm doing and go, that is just wrong, not good. Maybe they are not good behavior, lazy behavior. It's like, yes, she has a role to play in how I grow as a human being. But even more than that, she should be partnering with God, you know, in prayer to say, Lord, there is a spirit of laziness there. I know it. I see it. Like, can you work on Jeremy's heart? Can you help him lead? Mm-hmm. Can you equip him with tools and mentors and ignite his soul? Like, Lord, I want that. I pray for that. Mm-hmm. That is, prayer should be a part of every, if you're a believer, you know.
Is that true in dating as much as it's true in marriage? Well, to pray into that kind of stuff?
We didn't actually pray when we were dating.
Together.
Yeah.
Because
that's just a form of intimacy that I can't get.
Yeah, I don't do that either. It can lead to a lot of times just, you know, like you have this really emotional moment of prayer and then what?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think we prayed together in groups with people
plenty.
And church, we also did pray on the phone.
Not an island.
Because the phone, we were long distance. So we also prayed on the phone and we were able to do it that way. But I think, you know, it's just something that you have to be careful with when you're in a dating relationship. But I think
because there's no place that I'm more like vulnerably Annie than when I'm praying.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so to invite someone else into that.
Yeah. And I would say alone, definitely until you're in a serious
Not including mealtime, of course.
Right.
Yeah, because you're in public places with people. But
That being said, like, if you're dating, you know, by yourself, if you want to pray for the relationship and them, and like that's how I think the Lord shows us and explores whether or not it's the pursuit is worth it and supposed to happen for sure. I think prayer, I mean, it's they say prayer is the proof of your love for someone, you know?
It's your love or
no, that's
good.
Prayer is the
how much you love someone or how much you pray for someone determines how much you love.
Yeah. Anyways, I paraphrase. Like
the idea is there. I got it.
What is that? I can't remember.
My detective / assistant Jenna will find the quote.
Okay.
Detective.
She listens to these tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And then she pulls all the links to share online. Yeah, and so she detectives everything.
Boom.
It's brilliant. Okay. So she'll find the quote.
Boom.
Good luck, Jenna. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for being on the show.
This is a blast.
This is such a dream. Yes. Okay, so our last question that we always ask,
because
the show's called That Sounds Fun, what sounds fun to y'all? What do y'all do for fun?
Camping in a campfire and anything next to, well, I guess this is summer because it's coming up.
Yeah,
and we're
our
brains are like in summer space. But
Same. But
honestly, getting anywhere outside is kind of our jam, whether it be a bike, like we have a trailer for the baby, we've got a hiking backpack for the baby, we got anything outside, we're game, in it. So
I would definitely say campfires just the summer and like days on the lake and
like
the
just
river
throwing
and stuff
your
in
phone
Oregon.
Somewhere where you don't even know where it is.
Yeah,
being
my
in the
favorite.
Water because you can't have your phone.
Yeah.
You
know, just
like I dream about mowing the lawn and just hearing my phone under it, just
under the lawnmower, just being shredded.
Yeah, just because I lost it in the grass because I was busy watching the birds.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I feel like the longer, especially because for all three of us, our phones are our job in a lot of ways. Like, it's very important. And it is the way I get to talk to most of my friends.
Yeah.
From the other
it's
side
a beautiful
of my work.
Tool.
Right.
Also, when I Sabbath away from it,
there's like extreme. You need the extreme.
I feel like if we want to return to our humanness, it's like we got to. This is why Sabbath is, again, so. We're backstepping here.
No, we're not. We're circling in friendship.
We're
this
circling
is so good.
But it's like step away from that device. Yeah. It's wild. Phones are by and large the number one thing that we believe is a threat to current love stories.
Come on.
I mean, they are missing the person you're supposed to marry or whatever. Let's say it that way. It's like you were looking at your phone and they just bumped into you in the subway.
Right.
It's like, I get the phone thing. Again, we work on it. We use it. We love it. It is literally the most brilliant tool ever invented for our day and age and how to harness the internet. It's like, giddy up, right? Yep. But at the same time, it's just as dangerous.
Don't miss any kind of relationship, friendship, dating, marriage.
Yeah.
Because you're on Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, even us, there's been nights, I mean, in marriages, it'd be interesting to add up how many hours are spent looking at your phone at night, you know, rather than playing a game or whatever, or building the friendship.
Yeah.
Right. And then you wake up one day and you go, wow, who is this person? We're not even really friends. Well, it's because you built, you know, anyways, I could ramble.
You can preach that. You're ready. I know.
I'm ready. But
next time, we're doing a whole thing on phones.
We are.
Okay. Thank you guys for being on the show. I can't wait for everybody to get the book and get to read it.
It's good. Thanks.
This is really fun.
Yeah. Really great.
A pleasure.
So we loved our conversation with Annie. We hope to have her on the podcast to interview her at some point too, because she's a great,
she's so fun.
Fun person to talk to, super full of wisdom and
life.
If you haven't checked out her podcast, it's called That Sounds Fun. And she's got a couple books as well. So definitely check her out if you don't follow her already. And we love talking about Enneagram. We talked a lot about that in this episode. If you have been a longtime listener, you know that we talk about that a lot on the podcast. But if you're a new listener and you haven't listened to some of our earlier episodes, we have a few Enneagram experts on the podcast. And then we also share some of
experts of experts on the podcast.
Yes. So there's a lot of, if you want to dive more into Enneagram talk, if that's your thing, you can definitely search around on our episodes of the podcast that we've done that are specific to that.
And they'll be listed in the show notes. I can't remember exactly what episode
it'll
those are,
Enneagram,
but we have
Ian
Cron, Suzanne Stabile,
and Chris Hewerts.
All three of them are kind of considered masters of Enneagram. So that's good. More exciting news. This week I launched Presets, and something I've been kind of meaning to do for a long time, and a lot of people have been asking for them for quite some time, and they've just kind of been on the back burner, so they are finally launched, and it's a 6-preset preset pack called History, because it looks kind of older and more nostalgic.
Vintage vibes.
Vintage vibes, and I love the way they turned out. They are the presets that Audrey and I use on I use them on all my photos.
Pretty much most of our photos.
Yeah, I use them on most of hers.
A lot of people ask me, like, how do you edit your photos? And usually I just take one of Jeremy's presets and then tweak it, like adjust the exposure and stuff like that. So they're really great.
Those are live and available. If you're into presets or you want to know what they are, you can just go to...
Ember's still here in the office.
If you're into presets or want to learn what they are, you can go to jeremyroloffpresets.com and you can check them out. And I think they're still on sale. They're on sale for another day. So that's that. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, and I want to add, just if you're like, what is a preset? Because there's a lot of people that maybe don't know or don't know how to use presets. Jeremy does a really great job of walking you through exactly how to use the presets in Lightroom Mobile and Desktop Lightroom, and gives a tutorial and video, like all this stuff. So he makes it super, super easy if you've never used presets before to use them.
Yeah,
so.
And I also have an IGTV video that I just posted explaining the whole process as well. So presets are super fun. They can turn any photo into a really, really cool look. So go check them out. That's it, right, babe?
I think so.
Hope Ember wasn't too distracting. Kind of fun having
Ember
in the studio.
Do you
want to
come back and say bye-bye? See you next week.
No, just...
Oh, no.
Okay, she... Ember, say bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye. Okay, guys. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.